शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मताचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरम् लोकशंकरम् शंकरम् शंकराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्र भाषकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तः पुनः पुनः ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। Verse 62 and 63 we discussed last week, whereby we saw how desire, if not managed properly, can lead to one's own downfall. The desire cannot be dropped. The desire has to be overcome by viveka, by understanding what is desire. Desire itself is not bad. But chasing the desire by adharmic means or becoming addicted to it is bad. Where we saw that the buddhi doesn't work properly, and if a desire doesn't get satisfied, naturally there is dissatisfaction. Because a person has a desire means he wants something, he or she wants something. And it has to be accomplished. If it is not accomplished, naturally there will be dissatisfaction. And if the dissatisfaction is close to your heart, if the dissatisfaction is something which you really don't want, then the same dissatisfaction will lead to unhappiness. And unhappiness will result into anger. Krodhat bhavati sammoha, we saw. So from when you become angry, you really get possessed. And when you get really possessed means you are not in your control anymore. The mind is totally not listening to you and mind is just going astray. It is just thinking what it's not supposed to think. It doesn't have a direction to think. Thereby the anger itself causes delusion. And when a person gets deluded, or he doesn't use the viveka, then the person really has no control and he or she will do whatever is required to be done in that frame of mind. It may not be right, because usually when the person gets angry, it need not be always right. In fact, it is always not right. And it only affects a person more than the other person. Because you develop some sort of a negativity about a person. You develop hatred towards a person. You develop enmity towards a person. You envy the person. You are jealous of the person. All these things happen because of one simple thing called a thought. A thought, if it is not controlled, can lead to all these problems. There's nothing wrong with having a thought. In fact, without thought, you don't exist. Thoughts are cannot be resolved. Thoughts should be there. When you say resolved, it means that it should be resolved cognitively in jnana. It cannot be dropped. You cannot say that I will not, from tomorrow, I will not have thought. If you say that today, from tomorrow, I will not have rasagulla, the thought will not come to me. Just by saying that tomorrow rasagulla is not available, you are thinking about rasagulla. Your image actually is there. You are visualizing rasagulla there, and you say tomorrow rasagulla is not there, you are thinking about rasagulla image. So the thoughts are like this. They are just like that. So this is the nature of thought. So you cannot avoid it. So having discussed what happens to the person who does not have a control over his mind or his senses, now Krishna talks about the karma yogi. He says the karma yogi is a mumukshu. So let's look at this verse. Ragat dvesha viyuktaistu. Ragat dvesha viyuktaistu. Vishayani indriyecharan. Vishayani indriyecharan. Ragat dvesha viyuktaistu. Vishayani indriyecharan. Atma vashai vidher yatma. Atma vashai vidher yatma. Prasadam adigachati. Prasadam adigachati. Ragat dvesha viyuktaistu. Vishayanindriyecharan. Atma vashe vidher yatma. Prasadam adigachati. Ragat dveshaha viyukta astu. What is raga dveshaha? Ragaha means likes, dveshaha means dislikes. And viyuktihi means this person is free from raga dveshas. And this person we're talking about, Vishayan Indriya Charan. Vishayan means the objects. Vishaya means objects, because there are sensory objects which are there. There are lots of objects are there. Indriya Charan means with the sense organs. He moves about. Charati means moves about. Physically, he does not need to move. But with cognitively, with all the eyes, ears, feeling of touch, this person can experience all the Vishaya. So Vishaya Indriya Charan means this person, even without having Raga Dveshas, one can experience all the sense objects. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna does not say that you must not have desire. He says that no, you cannot have Raga Dvesha at all. Everybody has got Raga Dveshas. There's not a single person who doesn't say have Raga Dveshas. Everybody has got Raga Dveshas. Because you like somebody, dislike something. I like sambar, you like rasam. Or I like chapati, you like rice. I like this person, I don't like that person. I like satsang, I don't like to go to the movie. So Raga Dveshas are there. Likes and dislikes are there. And you use the sense organs to identify these objects. When you just have thoughts, it is called chintanam. I am thinking. Chintanam means thoughts. And when you dwell upon the thought for a little bit longer time, then the same chintanam now becomes dhyanam. So chintanam is different from dhyanam. Dhyanam is now focusing on the object, vishayan indriyani charan. So now you are actually focusing on the object. Your object of meditation is vishayaha, objects. If the object of desire is outside of you, then it is going to be give you raga dvesha, likes and dislikes. It will be like this. Because any object is going to give you pain and pleasure. It is not going to be always happiness. So raga dveshaha viyukta astu. Means viyukta he means the person is free. Ragaha dislikes. Dveshaha dislikes. Viyukta means free. So this person, vishayan means objects. Indriyani or indriye means all the sense organs. Indriye means he just says all the sense organs. It doesn't say eyes, chakshuhu, shrotram and all the nasikam. He doesn't say this. He says all the indriyas which are there, which operate, he can use this, he goes around using it. He does not say that I will not see at all, or I will not eat at all, or I won't sleep at all, I won't talk at all. He doesn't say all these things. And mumukshu doesn't say like this. Mumukshu is free to move around the society. He moves around with normal people. But he chooses to do what he likes and what he does not like, and he has control over it. Because he is free from all these likes and dislikes, he gets free to have, mentally gets free. Then, Atma Vashaihi. So Atma Vashaihi, here Atma talks about those sense organs here. So with those that are under control, Vasham Vashaihi means control. Those sense organs which are completely under his control. He doesn't just let them go just like that. So, Atma Vashaihi, Videyatmaha means here whose mind is controlled. So, Videyatmaha means Vidhi means knowledge. Atmaha means whose mind is controlled. So, the mind is the controlled person. The mind, he knows how to control it. The thoughts come, he dismisses. Or he says, okay, this thought is not good thought, let's leave it. He doesn't dwell upon the thought for long. Chintanam is there, it's okay. He leaves it alone. Another thought comes, then maybe he likes it, he dwells upon it. So the moment you have to be very choosy, you have to pick and choose, because the human being has got this free will, this beautiful Viveka he has got. So you can actually choose to do what you want to do. And then it's entirely up to you. You can choose to come to satsang, or you can choose to stay away from home. You can go and watch a movie. You can go to a friend's house, parties, all is available. That choice is available to you as well as to me also. To everybody. One can choose to do what one feels like, depending upon the interest. So, Atma Vashaihi means this person who has got his mind under control or sense organs under control. Videyatmaha, whose mind is under control. So, he's got his mind under control, his sense organs under control. So, two things. Because when the mind is controlled, sense organs are automatically controlled. Prasadam means here tranquility. Prasadam adhigachati means he obtains or he attains. What does he attain? He attains tranquility. This person is very, very calm. This person does not have any turbulence in the mind. Just imagine that you are a very, when you say, my mind is very troubled mind today. Sometimes you say this, right? My mind is very troubled, very, very disturbed mind today. Because the disturbance is not caused something outside of you. The disturbance is caused because of your thinking of what is disturbance. If an object of desire, if an object of thought is not what you are expecting, then naturally that is disturbing for you. Because you have now developed an attachment towards that object or desire. So you're definitely, your tranquility is lost, which you saw before in the previous verse. 62-63, we saw that how this person loses tranquility when the mind is disturbed. So raga dvesha here, viyukte astu, means raga dvesha has to be controlled or has to be managed. You cannot say that I will, from tomorrow onwards, I will not have any raga dveshas. After the Bhagavad Gita class, I understood that you cannot have raga dvesha at all. So from tomorrow onwards, I will not hurt anybody. I will not have a desire. I will drop all the desires. You try it. It will not work for you. Because you cannot drop any desire. You have to only outgrow the desire. You have to just grow out of the desire. You cannot drop anything. Because desires will be there always. But how do you to grow out of it in the wake of jnana, in the wake of understanding what a desire is. Is that desire is of meaning to you? Is it going to give me happiness? Is it going to give me permanent happiness? Is that object of desire, is it permanent? And if I don't get the results, how am I going to take it? So he is a karma yogi. This person who is living, talks about here, he is a practicing karma yogi. And this karma yogi is not somebody like a sannyasi sitting there and not doing anything. He's moving around the world. A sannyasi is actually detached. A sannyasi doesn't mix with grahasthas. He or she is on his own. But the sannyasi can mix with grahasthas to share knowledge, to give impart education. It's possible. But in generally, they like to be alone. They like to have their own time. They spend their time in teaching, doing meditation, nidhyasanam. This is their lifestyle. Whereas a grahastha, mumukshu is a grahastha. A mumukshu is a karma yogi. When you say karma yogi, it means this person is actually living in this physical world. And he is actually still active in the physical world with all his sense organs. He does not say that I will not go to this person's house. Not because he hates this person. He chooses not to go because he doesn't have interest in him. One time, he says, look, somebody calls you for a birthday party or some film movie or some gala dinner or some annual function. You may choose to go if you enjoy that function. But after a period of time, they function every year, you come and go, same thing happens. Then you don't enjoy it anymore. Correct. So it becomes routine. So there has to be some variety. Something has to be there for you. Because you're also growing, right? See, your mind also is growing. Supposing if you don't grow at all, right? Then you're in the same kutela, if you're the same there, you know, then you don't feel anything. But now you come out of that and you are now in a clean environment or you are in a slightly higher environment. So from there you look, why should I? I mean, I don't think I should go, you know. So So it is not because you don't like those people. It is because it doesn't, now your interests have changed. Or you've developed a new interest now, which is giving you more happiness. And naturally, you want that has given you quietness. Your mind has become very calm. I can guarantee you that everybody, every one of you, in the last maybe 2-3 years, you would have seen, there would have been a change in the personality. You would have been a very, very angry person, restless person, very, very disturbed person. But over a period of time, you would see that you are a little bit tranquil. It may not be completely calm, but you will know that you are not that disturbed anymore, or you are a little bit more relaxed, and somehow this works on you. It brings, this is guaranteed, this has to happen. If you are practicing Karma Yoga, if you are practicing what is taught there, see, inga padichuta anga poi marabadi appadi panninaana problem illa. You have to, what you study here has to be implemented. That is Monday will appoint, then it has to be, okay, look, this is what is Bhagavan is saying in this. He says, Raga Dvishas are there. I have desire. Now, is a desire is going to be, then the Krishna says, desire will actually go into dissatisfaction, unhappiness. Unhappiness will give into anger. Anger will go into, you know, delusion. Delusion will bring my own downfall. See, Ullalar Gatta, so the desire vanuma. Do you want me to follow the desire? You ask yourself the question. Then you say, no, I think let us leave it. So you that just, you know, don't drop it. You just say that desire is not important for me, so I'm not focusing. Desire is there. But you have chosen not to do that, not to follow the desire. So it doesn't mean that desire is gone. It may be the next year, Marmadi Varala. But again, the same thing you'll apply at the rule. Correct. So this is called Raga Dveshaha Vyaktayastu. Person who's actually free from Raga Dveshas. Vishayani Indriye Charan. Means the objects which are there in Charati means moves around. It doesn't mean that this person physically moves around with all his sense organs everywhere, touching and feeling. No. You can be in one place enjoying also. See, you should literally take it. Oh, Charan means, oh, this person moves around everywhere and he sees objects, he goes to different countries, he sees people. So, oh, Bhagavan says, Karma Yoga, you can also go anywhere and enjoy what you want to do. He says here that this person sees objects relevant to his knowledge. So, he actually pursues all desires which is relevant for his interest. Other things he does not follow. There are many objects are there. The world, there are so many objects are there. Somebody may say, I want to go to Europe for 3 months. Like I think we have because I work in a business, I know some customers I've got. They are in the cruise company. So we've got a big company called Carnival Cruise. They own all the Sun Princess, big cruise companies. And the latest trend in Australia or here is this cruise business is a big business. Why? Because all the people here, they are, I would say, they're very old people. Most of them are old people. Young generation is very little. And they have already amassed a lot of wealth. They have paid off their mortgage. And typical to the Western culture, their children are away or they are married, they are got their own lifestyle. They already left long time ago. And these two husband and wife, they are alone for last 30, 40 years. They are like that. And they have grown 60, 65, 70 now. They paid off their mortgage. The grandparents don't come and visit them. The children don't come and visit them. And they have taken a desire now to go around the world, Europe tour. So they book a cruise and go. They go for 21-day cruise first. All countries, like US, Puerto Rico, they all go there. They come back. My God, what an experience I had. It was so amazing. I was just on the cruise. The barman comes and gives me all beer. I get massage, free massage. I get free yoga. I get food, I get newspaper to read, I go to swimming pool. At beck and call, if I press a bell, somebody is going to come and give me the food, because all inclusive price is there, right? You can have orange juice, lemon juice, all different types of food can be had. All desires are fulfilled. Very happy person. Comes back home. My God, I had to again cook today. Wash utensils. Let us go another cruise. He calls the cruise company and books another cruise. Then second time he goes, he gets more enjoyment because he goes to some other country now. So I met one customer who came to my office. He says that in the last 1 year, he has spent 10 months in only on ship only. He has pledged the mortgage back to the bank. He says, I have paid off my house. I don't have anybody to give back the property. I owe about $2 million is worth of a property. I said, you take the property, give me the money. So the bank gives $1.5 million. He has booked cruise for 22 years now. Continuous cruise. He is now 74, 73 something. By the time he is 95, he will definitely die. And most people, they die on the cruise. Because we send their luggage back to their country, home country. They will say, this is late, so and so. Because that is a lifestyle chosen. So they enjoy. Vishayan Indriyani means here, not I'm talking about Vishayan Indriyani Charan, means this person physically goes after objects. He goes to different countries, sees different things, enjoys. Right. But here we are not talking about such a person. He is not a karma yogi, he is a karma bhogi. He is just a bhogi only. He is a karmi, he is a bhogi. Just enjoy. Experience. Just enjoy life. Here we are talking about a karma yogi who is actually pursued. He is a mumukshu. A karma yogi is always a mumukshu. Why should you go be a karma yogi? Because you want antakarana shuddhi, right? And why do you want antakarana shuddhi? To develop, to study shastram. And why do you want to study shastram? Because shastram reveals the truth about oneself. So this person has got a pathway. He knows, like, look, to know the truth of one's own self or the real nature of my own existence, I need to develop these things. I cannot just own it, become a jnani. And by letting my mind wander around different objects of desire, going around everywhere and enjoying, ultimately come back to the same position that I'm dissatisfied. Because all these objects are not there. Physically, you cannot walk. You cannot walk, you cannot talk, you cannot hear, but he wants to go to the cruise. How will you go? Because he's now completely under the control of this objects of desire. And those things are going to give you pain. Whereas this one, he talks about here, Atmajnanam will not give you any pain because you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go to any country. You don't have to go to any place. And the chair, whatever you're sitting. You're sitting on a sofa, you're sitting on a chair, on a table, whatever you're sitting there. From there itself, you can visit all the countries. All jnanam is available. Correct? Sarva vidya pratishtam we saw yesterday, right? All the knowledge is already available there. All these sciences are already available to you here. So, Vishayan Indriyani Charan means this person goes about or he experiences all the different objects of desire in conformity with Dharma. The word key word in the Karma Yogi's life is Dharma. Without Dharma, there's no Karma Yoga. No, he says, I'm a Karma Yogi. I do everything properly, but I follow all adharmic means also. No, you cannot be a karma yogi with adharmic means. Karma yogi has always to follow dharma. Dharma and what is right, you should know. Wrong thing you should avoid. If you have made a mistake accidentally by unknowingly, you correct yourself. See, you cannot say, no, I am a karma yogi, I cannot make mistake at all. No. Karma yogi mistake panna. Sannyasi also can make mistakes also. Unknowingly they make a mistake. But they repent for it. Or they correct themselves. So karma yogi also can correct themselves if you unknowingly commit a mistake. Or unknowingly commit some harm. If you come to know about it, you feel for it, you correct yourself. Because you know what is dharma. And but if you continuously keep doing the same thing again and again, and you then it is not called karma yoga. So atma vashe vidher yatmaha. So atmaha means, like here, atma talks about the physical, the sense organs. Vashaihi means in control of your mind and control of your sense organs. Vidheyatmaha means the mind also is controlled. So when the mind is controlled, naturally the sense organs are controlled. See, mind is the only, if you saw in the Dirgdasha Viveka, the mind actually powers the sense powers. Sense powers power the sense organs. Sense organs go and report different things, they again go back and... So sense organs are not to be blamed. You cannot blame, say, oh, kannu paakkarade, en kaadu kekkarade. They are just officers. They are just placeholders. They do the job what sense organ powers tell you. And the sense powers itself is controlled by the mind. So if your mind is not under control, or if you have a chanchala mind, then naturally you will lose tranquility because anganga ulindar. That is why we always say the mind is like a monkey. It will jump from place to place. A monkey will not be in one place, right? It will always keep jumping from tree to tree, branch to branch, it will keep swinging. Right? That is how the mind is. Mind always will be like this. But one has to know how to hold on to the mind and how to channel the mind. So here you're talking about the mind channeling, by which prasadam adigacchati. Prasadam here means this person actually gets tranquility. So here prasadam means tranquility. He gets peace of mind. He is actually not worried about. See, people may say a lot of things. When you come to the Bhagavad Gita class, somebody will say, Dandatuk poye, why are you spending time there? Every day you are going to the class there. You got a lot of work to do. Anga kadaik ponom, kaigari vanganom, you have got to go to this place. You will get a lot of comments. It is not new. There will be an important birthday party, you have to go and you say, no, I don't want to go because I got class today. And imagine what happens. You will get full bombardment, full dose you will get. Like, but then you sometimes, you know, get used to it and then you don't respond to them because you feel that is important. And you just don't say anything. Previously, you would immediately bite back, correct? You will say, how can I say like this? So you'll fight back. Immediately you want to react. But now the reaction time is lesser. You now, over a period of time, mandal adipattu adipattu, you become very sadhu now. You don't react to anything. So people will say, oh, this is a useless case. Even if I say something also, it is not going to do anything. You are going to do what you want to do anyway. So what's the point of me telling you? So you do what you want to do. Very good. Nallada pochu. I'm sure everybody will have this happening to me also. Because I was here till about 8:20, I was downstairs. And I was watering the garden and everything, and I was 8:30. And wife, she called, just like, you know, my son called, Appa, you got class today, 8:30. I said, 8:45 is the class. 8:30, I came home. Then, you know, by that time, wife started preparing some pesrat, something. She said, can I make something? He said, look, I got 10 minutes whatever is available in 10 minutes, I'll eat and go. Oh, ninga mela poprala? I said, yes, I'm going upstairs. So, I mean, downstairs is my kitchen. Upstairs is, this is my room. So, when I say mela poprala, I mean not going up. Up means here, into my study room. That's where I spend most of my time. So, anything is available, you just eat and come. Then you figure out later. So there will be some, you know, dissatisfaction. Oh, I made this for you and you're not eating. I told, look, this is my priority. Said, always running on Saturday also, Sunday also you're rushing. So it's not common. Everybody has got the same thing. I'm not different. But you get used to it. And you no more get angry with anybody. You do what you want to do. Correct. So this is how the Bhagavad Gita actually works for you. But just slowly, adipati, mandala, 30, you become very, very docile person. You do not get anything affected by anybody. Yaar edhashnala onku affect aaga. Not shudu shorana apdinla. What it means is like from a raga dveshas which are there, they get neutralized for a bit of time. You don't react immediately to anything. You think now and react. Sometimes they will test you. Romba test pannuvaanga. Test you to the core. Then they want you to respond. And you are not responding and they want you to respond. So, marabadi, they will keep on instigating you. So, it is not only the people around you. Situation also will be like this. Other situation, not only within the family, outside the family, out this whole jagat which is there, they all will be plotting against you. You say, my God, everybody is plotting against me. Everybody is against me. And you always have a suspicion that somebody is talking about me all the time. So you always say, one kaad andarukum, one kaad will be here. They always say, you are saying like this, paambu kaadumba, you know. Because the snake has got, you can hear things very clearly. So this, all these things will disappear. People, whoever cares, they can think. Who wants to come, they can come. Don't want to come, they don't want to come. It is okay. So all these things called ragat dveshaha means atma vashehi videyatmaha. That one word, it contains all this explanation. Vyakhyana. Where you have to really manage all these things and try to do. See, Bhagavad Gita, when you study, you have to implement it practically. Or you have to make it work for you. Otherwise, studying Bhagavad Gita itself will not help you anything. Adhu chuma text padikira mara padichinu poyadu da. But understanding the meaning of what is raga dvesha. Understand that raga dvesha cannot be dropped. It can only be managed. And it is part with everybody. And using Viveka, which one to choose, which not to choose, whether the raga dvesha is in confirmed dharma, has to be understood. So prasadam adigachati. So adigachati means this person obtains tranquility. Why? Because this person has actually managed to know what is likes and dislikes. And how does he manage? He manages it in his own way. Everybody has got his own way of managing. See, there's no principle. Ipidhaan pananum appadiyil. Depending upon situation, what you are in that situation in your home, or an office, or in the world, among people in society, you choose the best method of which works for you. What is working for me may not work for you. You cannot say that, oh, avar appadiyil karay, na appadiyil pengil. He says, appa avathir kodu appadiyil ba. They'll say, oh, ungalku appadi work pannadha, you can go to their house and sort out all the problem there. Why do you want to live here? So situations are different. Everybody's conditions are different. So you have to adapt to situation what you think is correct. Okay. So that is what said in this verse here. Is it clear to you, this verse 64? Because he is now saying the opposite of what happens if you if you develop this attitude. So previously he said that this, if you don't do this, it will bring you downfall. Now if you develop this control, it will bring you tranquility. So ninda nyaya is there, correct? So ninda is criticized, and then it is also praised. Something is praised. So here he is praising the karma yogi. Says the karma yogi is a person, he deserves credit for what he is doing, because it is not easy to be a karma yogi. Very difficult to be a karma yogi. That is why Krishna says karma yoga is difficult, because he says you are living in a grihastha. Your conditions are different. Where for sannyasi, for jnana yoga, you do not have anybody. You are chosen to cut yourself from everybody else. The society is not there. People are not there. And your only pursuit of Brahman is there. So nobody actually, and there's a physical distance, there's a reverence is there. Oh, our sannyasi means you always have a distance. Whereas if you are a grihastha, if you are a karma yogi, even if you are a jnani also, there will not be distance. Our tanjiyar dhani, our amman namal dhani. So you have that affinity, you know. Whereas with the sannyasi, even though the person, there will be some distance, or distance required. So the distance itself will protect that person. So you will not go near the person just like that. Right? Whereas, so that is why Krishna says that karma yogi is difficult, because karma yogi is a grihastha. He is living, this person is actually living his life in conformity to dharma. And he is also experiencing this world with the sense organs, sensory objects, sense everything is there in conformity with dharma. He does not stray from dharma. So dharma is underlying threat for karma yogi. So the key verse in this one is that without dharma there is no karma yoga. So when you say karma yogi means he is a dharmi. He is a dharmi means he actually follows dharma. Then only karma yoga is possible. Because karma yogi itself is what? Ishvara Arpana Buddhi, Prasada Buddhi, Samatra Buddhi, Swayamadhyaya Buddhi, correct? All these things are there, correct? So all the buddhis are coming into effect means this person is already following. How can I have Ishvara Arpana Buddhi when he doesn't even know what is Ishvara? Bhagavan yaran kriyadakku, how will become karma yogi? There is no Bhagavan. And why should I go to temple? Why should I pray? I am self-made person. I believe in my intellect. Idellam oru ahankaram namakaram. In reality, you don't own anything. Everything is given to you. If you look at it from, you will say that I developed this intellect. Who gave you this intellect? It is already given to you. But the Bhagavan Srishtikarta is given to you in this form. You are only using it. You are only actually sharpening it. You are just bringing it. The knowledge is already there. So who are you to say that I got this knowledge? This is exactly what is clarified when you understand this whole philosophy of Upanishad, everything. You will understand, my God, look, I don't have anything. I don't own anything here. I am nobody here. I am only just a nimitta karanam of the whole srishti. I am part of the universe. I am only implementing things which is already there. Srishti is already there. I am just part of it. I do not own anything here, nor I create anything here. So big change in perspective, correct? Whereas if a person doesn't have all this vision, you talk to him, says, because of me, everything is working. If I leave this person, see, look, it will just fall flat. And nobody can do my job. I'll challenge you that if you come here, you'll find it difficult. You cannot do this. So this is all ahankara namakara. Because it is actually that ahamkarta is there, right? Strong attitude is there. This is what is prompting them to talk like that. So when you study all these things, you leave these things. You don't get into arguments. You tend to argue, but then you see the fallacy in the arguments. And you just drop them, saying, okay, look, it's not relevant for me. Let us not pursue this. You just drop it. So verse 65, prasade sarva dukkhanam, prasade sarva dukkhanam, hanisyo upajayate, hanisyo upajayate, prasanna chetasa hyashuhu, prasanna chetaso hyashuhu, buddhir paryavatishtate, buddhi paryavatishtate, prasade sarva dukkhanam, hanisyo upajayate, prasanna chetaso hyashuhu, buddhi paryavatishtate. So sarva dukkhanam means of all the pain and sorrow which is there. Sarva dukkhanam means, sarva nivaranam means all sorts of pain. In the pain, and the pain, all the pain which is available to you, or you got there. When the mind is tranquil, prasadehe. See, here prasada buddhi means not accepting samatha buddhi. Prasada means, here it talks about the mind being tranquil. A person has got discomfort, physical discomfort is there. He is not well. Something has happened to the person, family. It could be possible. There could be some death in the family. There could be some physical pain. Some problem will be there. You are not able to, you have got sneezing problem, you got cold, you had a headache, you got fever. All these are dukkham only, correct? They are dukkha means what? They are actually giving you pain and sorrow. Some sort of pain. Some will be physical pain. Some will be mental pain. Correct? But pain is a pain. You classify them as, again, as different mental pain, physical pain. Pain is pain. Correct? So, this person who has got this sarva dukkhana, when the mind is tranquil, prasade, hanirsyo upajayate means all the pain and sorrow is destroyed when the person's mind is tranquil. See, it is like this. Supposing you get injured, right? Say you fall down, you fell down or you hit a pole and you got a big swelling or bump in the head. Supposing. And you keep on touching your head every time. Keep on, and the path near. So keep touching like this, and you always keep foo-foo like this. So what happened is, you are actually experiencing the pain, because the more attention you give to that pain, the more it is going to give you more pain. Correct? Physical pain, supposing where if you got hurt and if you keep on looking at the wound every day, or nalik, you know, 10 times you keep on looking at it. Oh my God, I got hurt, I got hurt, I got hurt. You keep on touching it and seeing it. Your mind is actually with the wound only. Nothing else is there because you have disturbed mind. Whereas the person whose mind is tranquil, he gets hurt physically. He realizes that I have to bear the pain because I do not have a choice. It will take its own time and I'm applying medicine. It will get cured. He doesn't worry about it. He bears the pain because his mind is now steady. But there will be sometimes the pain will be unbearable. There might be some pain which is unbearable and the person just accepts that this is my prarabdha karma. This is ordained for me. I cannot change this. I have to go through this. At that time, he doesn't blame anybody. He doesn't say, blame that because of you, this happened to me. Had he not been there, this wouldn't happen. So the blame passing is there, right? This person doesn't say anything more. He says, look, whatever has happened to me, it is because it is ordained for me. It is my prarabdha karma. If you lose a job also, it is a prarabdha karma also. Because it's ordained for you. You cannot know. How can you know? You may blame somebody else for the job, but it is your karma, the karma, that you have to lose a job means you have to lose a job. You cannot blame anybody for that. You may say that yes, of course, there are cases where it could have been done better. But you do not have a control over the other person. So this verse comes from the buddhi. Karmani eva adhikaraste mahafaleshu kadacham. Immediately on the buddhi and above. Because when this mind is established, knowledge is steady, this person immediately recollects what is taught before in the Bhagavad Gita, some other verses comes to his mind. Oh, it is said like this, karmani eva adhikaraste mahafaleshu kadachana mahafala hedurbuhu mate tangosti akarmani. Correct. It says this. So immediately this person recollects all these things. He understands, look, I do not have a control over results. It has happened. So I have to go through this as prasadaha. And it takes it equality. So this, when the mind is tranquil, the physical pain or the mental pain you go through, you just endure it. Titiksha is one of the qualities. Remember that we saw in the Tattva Bodha class. Titiksha means for forbearance. You have to bear it. Forbearance is one of the qualities where you develop this attribute. Sadhana chatushtayam, vairagyam ki thing, nityan drastu viveka, then all the shama, dhamma, uparama, titiksha, samadhanaha, right? Then mumukshuttam. So all these qualities are required to be developed for a karma yogi. So when you are on the path of karma yoga, all these things naturally happen to you automatically. You don't have to do anything. It just happens to you. You become like that. You lead a life. Because the Shastram guides you. Shastram, when you hold on to Shastram, it will not leave you like that. You hold on to the Shastram very steadily, you will see that you will not go from Dharma. You will strictly follow Dharma. Situation will come and prompt you. At a time, this thing will come to you, it will protect you. Somehow or the other, you will see that all these bad effects, they get warded off. You don't get connected with this. But it will all come and disappear, or it will have very, very mild impact on you. Had you not followed Shastram, had you not been Dharma Shastram, the impact will be greater for you. You will not be able to withstand the pain of separation, withstand the pain of, you know, all these things. So that is what it says here, that prasade sarva dukkhanam, hanihi means what? Damages, destruction, hani. So we have this Hindi word, hani, right? Hani means destruction. Hanir yasya upajhayate means this capacity to withstand all this tranquility, because tranquility is born in this person. Then prasanna chetasam means of the tranquil minded. Because the tranquility is there in the mind. Prasannaha means because of the tranquility. Chetasam means mind. So prasannaha means tranquility. Chetasa means mind. Hyashuhu, you break the word into he and asuhu. Means very soon. Hyashuhu means very soon. Buddhihi means knowledge or intellect. Parvyava tishtate is well established. So when the tranquility is there, then the buddhi also is with you. It doesn't go anywhere else. Because buddhi is always thinking. Steady mind. Whereas if your mind is not tranquil, supposing you do something when you are restless, agitated, very, very agitated, you will know that you are not doing the right things. You will do 10 things. because your mind is not focused on one thing. It's not tranquil. Whereas if your mind is very, very calm and not wavering here and there, sometimes you will say, let me give me a break. I want to just retire. I want to go back. I want to just reassess all the words. See, management, we have all this. I want to reassess. Let us look at restructuring. All these are words only. Or tranquility. You are trying to find tranquility because there is a problem with tranquility. But this person who is a Karma Yogi is always in tranquility because his Raga Deshas are under control. He doesn't let his Raga Deshas go out of control. Thereby, he is very, very steady. He doesn't deviate anywhere. So, Paryavatishtate means he is well established. Is it clear to you? So the word by word meaning is clear to you, or you want any word explanation? It's clear. Then verse 66 and 67 is a combo verse. This is taken together, or it's the text is only one, or the message is only one, but it's given two verses. Now he has explained before in verse 64 and 65 that how a tranquil person benefits from such a knowledge. Now he again comes back to saying that if a person doesn't have this tranquility, what happens to the person? So he said before that anger actually causes because of desire, and desire brings a downfall of the person. Now he has come back to the same topic to reiterate or to conclude this topic. He comes back, says, for the one who has no peace, who is very disturbed, agitated, always very, very restless, rajasic, there is no happiness for him, because he will not be happy in anything what he is doing. See, and the satisfaction is irukadu. Maybe I think I should have done better. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should work hard. Because his expectation is very high and his attachment to that is very high. So naturally, he's very dissatisfied because whatever he's trying to do, I'm not happy. I want to do more. Correct. So, nasti buddhi yuktasya. Nasti buddhirat yuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha yuktasya bhavana nasti buddhir ayuktasya nacha yuktasya bhavana nacha bhavayata shantihi nacha bhavayata shantihi ashantasya kutam sukam Shantasya kutam sukam. So, na asti buddhir yuktasya. Na asti means when the buddhi is not endowed with this tranquility, na asti means not existing. He's not there. Na asti. Asti means what? Existing. Na asti means not existing. What is not existing? Buddhihi. So buddhi means the intellect is not there, or the person's mind is not steady, he is not able to think through very clearly. Yukti, yuktasya means is endowed. For the one who is not tranquil, he is not endowed with this buddhi, or is endowed with this tranquility of mind. Na ayuktasya bhavana. So, this person cannot contemplate on anything. So, bhavana here means contemplation. Or you can say meditation, or you can say dhyanam. I told you before that chintanam and dhyanam, they are two different things. See, chintanam means thoughts are coming and going. There are so many thoughts that this person is always engrossed in thoughts. He is not able to pick any thought and focus on one thing. So, dhyanam is what is taking one thing and dwelling upon it. So, when you dwell upon it with ekagrata, then there is tranquility. You are focused. See, here we are talking about all only about the karma yogi. We are not talking about anybody who is doing other things. That they are free to do what they want to do, we are not interested in that person. We leave the person as it is. We are not interested in the person who is not ready to come to all this level of knowledge. Our enjoyment, let them be. Sarve jana sukino bhavantu, ningla happy arko, nanu happy arko. So you find happiness in all the vishaya gocharan, you go and enjoy. You go to whose company you enjoy, I am not saying that you should not come to, listen, if you come, this is my level of understanding. This is my understanding. So we are not talking about such a person. Here Krishna talks about karma yogi. So karma yogi, he talks about, supposing this person is not a karma yogi, then what happens? Na asti buddhir yuktasya. This person is not tranquil. Because his chanchala buddhi is there all the time. Objects, vishayan, gocharan means this vishaya is objects of desire is going along. Multi, all of desire objects are there in this dunya. This world is so much of filled with objects. One lifetime is not enough for you to fulfill all these things. Not even 10 lifetimes is enough. You will keep on being there. And this keeps on changing. The world keeps on changing. Objects keep changing. Today what you see, tomorrow you will not be there. New things will come. Like, if you have a new phone, you say, I think 2 years I will have a new phone. You again want to go a new phone, new features, another phone. So you keep on upgrading. Right? Because you want to get latest technology, latest WhatsApp, latest communication methods, all latest are gone. So there is no end to what is functionality required, what is not required. Right? So here this talks about that na asti buddhir yuktasya, ayuktasya. So this person is not endowed with the buddhi. Na ayuktasya ayuktasya bhavanaha. So this person naturally ayuktasya means this cannot, or is not endowed with the capacity to contemplate. So here contemplation I said dhyanam. So dhyanam means he is not able to focus on one thing. Bhavana. So nasti buddhir yuktasya na nacha ayuktasya bhavanaha. So you say nacha ayuktasya bhavana. So the word na cha ayuktasya has to be broken up into nacha ayuktasya bhavana. And nasti you break it into na asti. Na asti buddhir yuktasya. Then na nacha, so also the word nacha, nacha abhavayataha. So abhavayataha means for the person, see bhavana is contemplation and bhavayata is a person who contemplates. Bhavayata is a person who contemplates, correct? And abhavayata is what? A person who is not contemplative. So bhavana is contemplation. Abhavayata is a person is not contemplative. Here it talks about a person. There bhavana is an action. It's a verb. So abhavayataha means a person. Nacha abhavayataha means this person who is not contemplative or who is not contemplative. Shanti hi na Ashantasya. So shantihi means peace. Ashantaha means here there is no peace or he is not tranquil. For such a person who is not endowed with the buddhihi, thereby this person cannot contemplate. Because this person cannot contemplate who is not contemplative, he is actually ashantihi means he is actually dissatisfied, he cannot be having peace. Kuta sukam, he asks a question, where is the happiness? When such a person is actually not contemplative, due to his mind not being tranquil, his mind always being disturbed, this person cannot find happiness. This person will always be restless. You will see some people like, they are restless, ramba agitative. You will see them, the moment you see them, they will say, pantukula kai kondupa, thalai sunjupa. They will keep some, they will keep, you know, in the class also, they will keep on doing some fiddling something. Penna potu sutindar probably. So you will see them. If you ask them to sit in meditation for some time, right? They will keep looking like this. Kripapa, kripapa. Somebody ring the bell, they will look at this way. Pakata yaar chant pantra paathindrupa. All is a restlessness because he is not able to focus. It is not that person is bad. What it tells him is this person cannot find. Supposing if you have a habit of sitting in one place and doing japa. Somebody comes and shouts at you also, you know somebody shouting, you can hear that. You cannot say that. You can't say that. You will hear it. Because they are available for perception, you can hear it. Somebody can walk and sit next to you also, you will be hearing it. But you don't change your position. You just be there. You are aware that somebody is coming and sitting next to you, somebody is behind you, or somebody is talking about you. You can hear it, you can sense it, you can feel it, but let the thought not disturb you, you will be there. This is called sadhana. And here he talks about a person who doesn't have the habit. So you are a music teacher, right? You know that in class also. Then the person says, I sorry, forgot, miss. Because you'll find that again, Badanurpa again. So this is very common in all. Because the mind is not trained. So when you come to the Bhagavad Gita class, slowly, slowly your mind will be focused for 1.5 hours. See, Munadi vandu 10 nimisham kuda okkara mudiyadhu. Eppadi pa 1.5 mani neram class la okkara mudiyum. In a day, I attend 2 classes. See, around KP is attending 2 classes a day. He was there in the afternoon class for an hour and a half. Now he's here for an hour and a half. So you're all, maybe for an hour and a half, you're there. Because over a bit of time, this hour and a half is usually for you. It's not difficult. You can sit for even 3 hours also if you require to. Because subject of interest is now interesting to you. You are able to relate to the subject and you're finding some meaning to that. Whereas a new person who comes to this class, or if a person has dropped out of the class, suddenly he picks up, he will find, my God, I'm a class, I'm not able to catch up, so I will not come. He drops. This is very logical. Because sometimes if you're not connected to the class, if you're not able to connect regularly to the person, you will lose interest in the person, you will actually not be connected to the person anymore. This is logic. Out of sight, out of mind. Correct? You don't. So it is very logical. Me, Abhidha. If you don't see me or if I don't see you, I will after some time forget you. Possible. After 2-3 years, you may not know, right? So regular satsang is important. That is why you have to have contact with people. And it is better. This kind of better than the other things. So here, natnacha abhavayataha. So this person is not contemplative. Shantihi ashantasya. So this person is something called peace. He is not got no peace. Ashantasya. Kutam sukam, where is happiness? Kutam means where. And sukam means happiness. Where is happiness for such a person? Who says that I'm not able to focus, I'm not able to concentrate. He's restless, agitative. So only a tranquil mind can discover happiness. So what it says is that you have to develop the tranquility and you need to take care of the raga dveshas. Otherwise, they are a big nuisance. So do whatever is required. You do whatever works for you, whichever. Sometimes you'll say that, okay, I'll do pranayama, I will do ashtanga yoga, I will do this, I will do that. Do whatever is required. But you follow that strictly and it will work for you. So that's what it says here, that make sure that your mind is under control, your raga dveshas are under control. You understand that you cannot drop raga dveshas, neither you can say that I will not have a raga dveshas tomorrow. You will always have raga dveshas. Because the person is made like that. He always have likes and dislikes. You cannot say, "Ellame pidikum." Then it's a problem. There are certain things you also dislike. You have to have, otherwise there will be nothing there. Ellame okay. Then the person also will give you other things. They will inflict you pain, everything. Ellame okay, I like everything means what? You should say no sometimes. Right? So, Apo likes, dislikes are there, correct? So, but it has to be in conformity with dharma. That's what it says. So here it talks about the sita pragyaha, how this person is steady, very steady. He doesn't waver in thoughts. He doesn't waver in any of this raga dveshas managing it. He's very, very controlled. He talks about this. Then verse 67,
Indriyanam hi charatam, yanmano nu vidhiyate, yanmano nu vidhiyate, Indriyanam hi charatam, yanmano nu vidhiyate, tadasya irati pragyam. Tadasya harati pragyam vayurna vayurvam mi ivambasi vayurna vam ivambasi. So the word vayur navam ivambasi. So you take the word as vayur navam ivambasi. So indriyanam hi charatam. So charati means we saw before, this indriyana means this person walks around or is wandering of the senses. Yat manaha means this mind. Anuvidhiyate follows, because the mind follows the sense organs. Correct. So the sense organs are there, the mind also goes there. Supposing you like a rose or you like a movie, the mind also goes there. The mind is with you there. You cannot say that the sense organs are independently operating. Kannu paattu koradhu paathirukku, mind is operating somewhere else. No. Wherever the sense organs are there, the mind is there. Correct. So, they always operate together. So, indriyanam hi charatam, yat manaha anudhiyate. Anuvidhiyate means it follows. Tat asya, just like harati pragyam. Harati means takes away knowledge. Harati means snatch, take away. What is taken away? Pragyaha means knowledge is taken away. Like what? Vayur navam ivambasi. Vayuhu means what? The wind. Okay. And navam, vayur navam is two words. Combined is one word. Vayuhu plus navam. Navam means a small boat. Navi, you know, we say navidan. Or now we say now, right? So navam is a word called the small boat. So imagine a small boat who is stuck in the water. And the wind actually blows the boat whichever direction it blows, correct? It's like a rudderless boat in the ocean, which has got no control, and whichever way the wind blows, the boat will go that side. Because now it has lost control. The boat has lost control. There is no owner there and they don't know how to manage the boat. So you are sitting in the boat. So here the boat is the physical body, the sense organs. And the vayuhu means the wind. The mind actually just takes control of it. And it just blows away the sense organs. It just takes away everything. Ivaha means ivam, iva plus ambasi. So the word ivambasi, you break into iva plus ambasi. Iva means just as. Just as. Ambuni means water here. Ambuni means water. Ambujam, as you know, is lotus, right? So the lotus is on the water, right? So ambuni means here waters. So indriyanam. I mean, this indriyana means sense organs, they go around, they wander about. And wherever the sense organs wander about, the mind also goes there. So indirectly what he's saying is that you are now letting your mind wander among all these things. Free outer. You know, when you let the cows graze, you say you just let them graze wherever they want. They will roam around here and there, they will go different places. Then the person has to go and find out where the cow is there, and then they'll bring everything together. Right? So likewise, if you let your mind wander, you'll have to work very hard to bring everything back. Because you don't know which direction it is going. And wherever the objects go, the sense objects, organs go, that's where it is there. Right? So anuvidhiyate means follows. So charata means of the wandering, indriyanam of the senses, yan manaha of the mind, anuvidhiyate means that which follows. That knowledge, tad asya, harati pragya means that knowledge is snatched away. Because the knowledge is no longer there. When the mind wanders in whichever direction it is going, then the knowledge is not steady, correct? Knowledge is there means your mind is under control. So tat asya harati pragyam vayur navam iva ambasi means just like a small boat which is stuck in the waters and it is subject to the vagaries of the wind, and the boat gets tossed around in the water without having any sense of direction, it doesn't even know when it will reach the shore. Likewise, this person will wander around, go around the world, searching for happiness. And he will not find happiness. Because all the objects of desire which is in this universe, they are not going to give him any happiness because they themselves are limited by nature. How can something which is limited by nature give you unlimited happiness? Correct. So an object which is there in this universe is limited. It is limited by time, space and objects. We know that. So when you follow certain objects, these objects which are limited in due to this nature, naturally it is going to give you limited happiness. And after the happiness is over, you are again going to get disappointed, dissatisfied. Again, you'll go and search. So this is what it talks about here. Indriyanam hi charatam means you just wander around. You let your sense organs, sense powers just go and do whatever you think you do. Your mind also wanders in the same direction. So there is nobody to control anything to you. I just do what I want. See, I do what my mind says. It's a simple dialogue. When you meet somebody, this is. See, I just do what my mind says. I don't think at that moment, I don't think it is right or wrong. I just do. See, Duryodhana says in the Mahabharata, he says, I know that I am doing wrong, but I do not have any control over my mind anymore. Therefore, I know it's a dharma, but I don't know how to stop it. Because he has now let his mind wander such a direction that his mind is now taken full control of all the sense organs. So it is not able to bring back. Even Arjuna also had the same problem. See, Arjuna also, when his son was killed in the war, he took a vow that before the Surya Astam is over, he will kill. Right? He took that vow. Even though he was listening to lectures from all these things, it is still going on there. Correct. See, Mahabharata, it was all taught to him. Before the war started, Bhagavad Gita is explained to Arjuna. He has understood very clearly. But what happened when his son got killed? His raga dvesha has immediately shot down. So what it tells you here is that situation will force you to sometimes abandon things. And it will completely take control of all the knowledge. Bhagavan Krishna has given all the knowledge to Arjuna. But in the battlefield, he forgot everything. Because of this example here. Because he let go of his mind control, his anger took over everything. Thereby, he was not able to control anything. Right? So, that is what he's trying to say here. That Arjuna, still you have got to develop the mind. You're still not ready yet. Even though after chapter 18, he says, now I understood what I should do. He goes and fights the war. Right? He goes and starts to disseminate all the army one by one. And he has got vengeance against everybody. He kills everybody one by one. Right? Because this raga dvesha is still there. And he's working towards it. Attachment is still there. Love for Draupadi is still there. All the things are coming back. The thoughts are coming back to him. And when thoughts come back, they cloud your mind. At that time, when the mind is completely clouded, what happens? The mind just goes whichever direction it is going there. You cannot see things. That's what it says here. Indriyana hi charata yan manaha anu vidiyate. Tad asya harati pragyam. Harati means the pragyam is harati means snatched away. Just like what? Vayu navam iva ambasi. Just like a small boat stuck in the waters on the ocean and is subject to the vagaries of the wind. Just like this, the person will keep on tossing from place to place, from going from here to here, like a pendulum, oscillating pendulum, without stopping where it is. Because the pendulum doesn't stop, right? Unless you hold it, it will stop. Or it will keep on grinding. That is how it is. He will just keep on oscillating from happiness to unhappiness. Unhappiness to happiness, he'll keep on fluctuating. He will never find true happiness. That's what is said here. Is it clear? Suresh, is it clear?
Yes, it's clear.
KP, are you okay? Okay. I think KP has got a speaker problem. He cannot speak. He can hear what I'm saying. He's putting a chat message. Okay, so we'll stop here for the class and then we will continue in the next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tatsat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. So I'll see you all back on next week's class. Okay. Om.